Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 26 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk a lot of girls basketball today. We're a couple weeks into the season, so we got a lot to talk about. In a little while here, we'll be talking with Ankeny Centennial coach Scott DeYoung. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He is in his third season as the head coach of the Ankeny girls team. He has his team off to a 2-1 start. He is Drew McAnally. Drew, thanks for coming in. How are you doing today?
Hey, really appreciate it, Dan. Doing great and just excited to be here. And we're excited to get the season rolling. And like you said, we're off to a 2-1 start and just looking to get a little better each day.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about, first of all, how was your practice today? Did you have good practice?
We really did. I challenged the girls. You know, we went to Mason City and had a tough one Monday night. Long night, you know, 4 hours on a bus round trip there, and then you come back and 24 hours play a game. And I said, this is going to be a big character test, how we respond coming in on a Wednesday after two straight games off Thanksgiving break, whatnot. And girls really responded, brought a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of enthusiasm tonight. And we had a great practice. So,
well, that's great. Normally, you guys play two games a week. You play Tuesday, Friday. Now, when I played high school back in the day, we'd play Friday and Saturday. So we'd practice hard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'd have an easier day Thursday. Yeah. I imagine probably Wednesday is probably your hardest practice day of the week, isn't it?
It can be. It just, you know, as a coach, you got to figure out the pulse of your team and kind of the ebb and the flow of the season. And a lot of times Wednesdays can be very hard. Sometimes Wednesdays can be a lot of game planning. Sometimes you just maybe focus on yourselves and not so much the opponent, and you do a lot of fundamental and skill breakdown work, stuff like that. So it can vary from week to week and opponent to opponent. So
all right, well, here's kind of a state of the program question for you. Your first team had a 7-15 record, and last year you guys finished 11-12. Like I mentioned, now you're off to a 2-1 start. You know, I know your program isn't where you want to be just yet, but, you know, do you feel like you guys are getting to where you want to be?
Absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head. It's not where we want it to be, but we feel very good in the direction it's moving. Last year we took some very big steps, you know, since the split, the 3 years before my staff and I took over the program. We did 9 things in 1 year that hadn't been done since the split, and some were very small, minute things. But when you're rebuilding a program the state it was in, every one of those things is something to build on, and where the girls can really feel good about themselves, and we can keep moving forward in the right direction. So we're moving in the right spot. We got a lot of work to do. We're not up there with the upper echelon teams, but that's where we're working to get. So.
Well, if somebody had told you before the season that you guys would be 2-1 after 3 games, you know, with the schedule that you've had, considering, you know, 2 of those opponents were ranked, you know, would you have taken that?
You know, you always want to be 3-0, but I'm not going to lose any sleep being 2-1 with 2 ranked opponents. Not at all. So we feel good. You know, the main thing with the 2-1 record is I walked out of the gym, and my staff walked out of the gym at Mason City Monday night, and we didn't feel too bad about the game. We just got off to a really slow start. And after that, we played pretty decent basketball. Just some real easy fundamental things that we can fix in practice that didn't go right for us. But it was, in reality, in the big picture of things, it was probably a really good game to have that early in the year to get some things corrected. So,
we guys opened the season a week ago with a 45-38 victory over East, which is ranked 13th at the time. Obviously, you guys got a good start there then.
Yeah, and then they turn around and beat Ames, and then Ames turns around and beats Mason City the next night. So I think that's going to be the gist of the league, is every night you just got to bring it, and it's all about matchups, and anybody can beat anybody on any given night. But, yeah, we felt really good. East was an extremely long, big, athletic team, and they extended a zone on us. And early in the year, you know, you don't do a ton of zone work in practice. You're focusing more on man usually. And, you know, we got off to a slow start, but the girls really responded and handled adversity. We talk a lot about that. And I was really proud of the way we fought. And at the end of the day, we just found a way to win in the fourth quarter. So,
when you talked a little bit about that Mason City game already, but I saw in the stats there where Megan Meyer had 27 points that night. You know, she certainly is one of the best players in the CIML, isn't she?
Absolutely. A girl like her, you know, she's so good with the basketball. She can go both ways, shoot the three, really good off the dribble, you know, and if you help or double, she's going to find the open girl. We didn't do a very good job the first half and of really trying to identify her as far as face guarding and denying her and being physical with her. We did a much better job in the second half, as I think she was held to 8 points. We kind of tweaked some things defensively, and it helped out a lot. We played a lot better in the second half, but we just got off to such a slow start and couldn't dig out of that hole. And that's a great lesson for us to learn when we're playing good teams. We got to come out and be ready to play 32 minutes because you can't get down big to really good teams.
Sure. Well, then you guys bounced back last night with a 63-24 win over Des Moines North. And for the second night in a row, you guys had three players in double figures. Sarah McCall has been in double figures in all three games, and so has Abby Johnson, a sophomore. You know, it seems like Abby has really developed into a key player for you. Are you surprised by the jump that she's made this year?
No. I mean, I think that maybe the general fan would be a little bit surprised coming off last year. You know, she would play 3 to 4 quarters of JV and usually be the leading scorer or second leading scorer in JV and play a quarter or two for us. But she had an unbelievable summer, and Abby loves basketball. She's a gym rat. She's always putting in the extra time, and she's just worked really hard. And I saw the development of her on a daily basis, starting basically from the day after the season until the start of practice in November this year.
When you guys really need, you know, other players like Abby and Kayla Pitts to step up and pick up some of that scoring slack, you know, to take some of the pressure off of Sarah, right?
Absolutely. Kind of like I told you last night in our post game, is that that's what we've been striving for these first 2 years, is finding that third girl consistently to have three girls that can average double figures or at least score double figures. It doesn't mean we have to have three girls average double figures, but on a consistent nightly basis, having three girls be right around that double digit scoring average. So.
All right. Well, then last night you guys also got a 10.8 rebound performance from Isabel Vasek, who I think could also become a key player for you. Do you think it's taken a while for both Isabel and Sarah to kind of find their basketball legs after the volleyball season?
A little bit, yeah. It's just such a different sport. And the first couple of days of practice, they were just, you could see the look in their eye, and they kind of looking at each other, and they'd look at me, and it's like, oh, Coach Mack, this is so different. And I just kind of smiled. I said, yeah, it is. But those two girls are such coachable and great, high-character girls that the only thing they did every day is want to work hard and get there. So they're just a pleasure to be around.
Well, your team will play at Fort Dodge on Friday before hosting Lincoln on Tuesday. You know, I know you coaches don't like to look past, you know, your next game, but it appears that you have a good chance to be 4-1 going into your Central Conference opener the following Friday against Centennial. And I know you probably haven't dived, you know, too deep into Centennial yet, but, you know, what are your thoughts on their team this year?
You know, once again, Scott and his staff, they do an unbelievable job, and his resume obviously speaks for itself. You know, they're going to, with McKenna back healthy and Shone healthy, the Harris girl, they're just going to be really long and athletic. Runchie's back. They're going to be very physical. Obviously, they're an unbelievably well-coached half-court defensive team, best in the state. You know, they're going to be a tall test. It's going to be hard to score the ball in the lane for sure. You know, they're going to be up there. And every year, Scott has them always playing really well all the time, but always – he's always got his team peaking at the right time, and that's
an
amazing
thing
about Centennial. So,
well, you mentioned that your team accomplished a lot of firsts last year, but you know, one thing that you guys haven't done since the split is to beat Centennial. So I imagine that's one of the, you know, the goals for the girls is to get accomplished this year, isn't it?
Absolutely, that's one of our team goals. But we have some other goals too. You know, we need to focus on ourselves first and not worry so much about them. You know, obviously their program is where it is, and we're working to move in the right direction. But yeah, I mean, it's always a goal to beat your crosstown rival. If it wasn't, that'd kind of be a problem. So,
yeah, right.
You know. And then one girl I forgot to mention there with Centennial, obviously, is Meg Burns. She, you know, you got the inside threats now, and then be able to kick the ball out to a shooter like her, that makes a tough defensive matchup. She's a really nice player.
Oh, for sure. Well, the CIML is such a tough league. You know, there's six CIML teams currently ranked in the top 10. Three of them are from your conference, number 2 Johnston, number 9 Dowling, and Centennial, which is 10th. You know, but do you feel like you guys can be a factor in the conference race this year?
I think so. You know, we are really working hard on just focusing on us getting better a little bit each day. You know, it sounds cliche not to take – I'm a Hawkeye, but not to take one from Matt Campbell, but just focusing on the process, trust the process, trust what we do. You know, and we talk a lot about handling and facing adversity and turning negatives into positives. And one of the things I use a lot is little things equal big things. And we talk about, you know, when we go from a 5-on-5 segment to practice, then to a breakdown drill, how are we going to make that transition? Are we going to take a break? Are we going to take a step backwards? Or are we going to focus and get better? And I think those are the little things that we have slowly developed the last 2 years that we're starting to see more in practice that are going to lead to maybe us taking that next step this year and getting, being able to compete and ultimately beat those teams. So,
well, now, did anything about those preseason rankings surprise you? Did you think there's any chance that you guys might be ranked?
Probably not, even though we were in the top 15, I think maybe 5 or 6 different times throughout the season last year. But, our strength of schedule is up there with anybody. I think the RPI or whatever system the high school uses there, we were, I think, top 5 to 7 as far as strength of schedule. But when you're a game under 500, it's probably tough to get in the preseason there.
Sure.
So.
I was looking at your schedule today, and after you guys host Centennial, you're going to play 7 of your next 8 games on the road. You start with a trip to number 1 Southeast Polk, then you go to Urbandale, Ames, Johnston, and Dowling. Later, you go to number 5 Valley, and then you have the return trip to Centennial. Boy, that's just a brutal stretch.
You don't have to remind me of that, Dan. there's no easy night. There really isn't. And that comes back to what I just said about practices and focusing on the little things and trying to get a little bit better each day. Because we know night in and night out, you have to bring your A game and be ready to go 32 minutes, or you're not going to win. It's that simple, because this league is unbelievably good.
Well, if you guys can survive that stretch, you know, with a decent record, it's obviously going to prepare you for the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we obviously want to have a winning regular season record. We haven't done that yet. We were, 10-11? Yeah, and then got to 11-11 with our tournament win last year, and then obviously lost to Dowling in the regional final there to go to state. But, that's one of our team goals, is to have a winning regular season record. It's going to be with that schedule. We got a lot of work to do, but we're looking forward to the challenge. That's the beautiful part of high school athletics. So,
well, you talked about, doing some of those little things. Do you think doing that is going to be the key for this team to reach its potential? Is just doing a lot of the little things and make it into a big thing?
absolutely. We don't have multiple Division I players, Saragona, you and I. So we got to focus on those little things and take pride in those little things. And the one thing we've done an unbelievable job of so far is just playing together. We talk a lot about playing for each other, playing for the name on your jersey, not for your last name. This team is really coming together and playing with each other. We talk a lot about offensively good versus great, meaning I might have a good shot, but my teammate might have a great shot. We're doing a really good job of sharing the basketball, making the extra pass. So some little things that I've seen that are better this time of year than they were a year ago. So that's really encouraging.
Well, you've talked before about the dramatic improvement that Sarah made, a year ago between her sophomore and junior years. Do you think she has a chance, this year to make another jump, where she could really put this team on her back and take them to some greater heights?
Absolutely. I think Sarah's ceiling is unlimited. But Sarah's also such a team girl that she just wants to win so bad that she's willing to do anything it takes for us to win. She's really picked it up at the defensive end. First night out against a really athletic, long, big team like East, she goes double-double, 16 and 14, 3 or 4 blocks. So she's just willing to put this team on her back and do anything it takes to win a game, which is speaks volumes for Sarah McCullough.
Well, it's got to be nice to be able to build around somebody like that, because when you're playing a shorter team, you can take her down low and she'll probably take advantage of her size. Yeah. When you're playing a bigger team, she can go outside
Absolutely.
And hit those outside shots.
She's definitely a multi-dimensional player, and that's what makes her so special. So, when you got a little size advantage, she can go down and score in the post. She's a really good offensive rebounder. She's so active. And then, we can put her outside too with different lineups, and she's such a pure shooter. So,
all right, Drew, I appreciate you coming in today. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Dan. Appreciate everything.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office here at Iowa Realty will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders in communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, right now we want to bring in our second guest. He is in his 26th season as a coach here in Ankeny, his 6th at Ankeny Centennial. He's won 7 state titles. He is Scott DeYoung. Scott, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
No problem. Good to be here. Doing good. Thanks.
Good. Well, you guys opened the season with a pair of lopsided wins before running into number one Southeast Polka last night. The Rams jumped out to a 23-10 lead and eventually held on for a 51-44 victory. You'd probably like to have that first quarterback, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think we were, even though we tried to prepare for it, the speed of the game was a little different than our first two games. And Southeast Polk, they're very good, obviously, and they came out red hot. And we had our heels for a little bit, but I was really proud, and our team was, of how we came back. So, but we would like to start the first quarter over. Unfortunately, you can't do that.
Well, I was really impressed by Maggie McGraw, the Indianola transfer, who led the Rams with 18 points. That was the first time I'd really seen her play, you know, a full game. You know, when you combine her with Grace Larkins, you know, that gives Southeast Polk, you know, two kids that can really beat you off the dribble. And of course, Maggie's such a great shooter too. That's a pretty tough combination.
That is a great combination. And Maggie was in foul trouble too, and set out a lot the second quarter. So yeah, she gives her a dimension. She can really shoot, she can drive the ball, and just, you will have to focus on them so much, it makes it a little easier for other kids. But I really thought Larkins had a great first half. I thought our defense was better on her in the second half, but yeah, you're not going to stop those two the whole game.
Well, for you guys, Rachel Schoen scored 15 points, and she currently leads the team with an average of 14.3 points. She recently committed to play for William Jewell. You know, do you think that commitment that she made kind of took some of the pressure off of her?
Well, I think there's no question, anytime you don't have that hanging over your head, your senior season, it's certainly a luxury. And, you know, it's a great school for her academically, I think, and athletically. So, yeah, we're real happy about that. And so is she and her family.
Well, you guys are getting the bulk of your scoring right now from your inside players. Alexandria Kiana Harris is averaging 11 points per game. Kenneth Sauer is averaging 8 points. Your opponents are obviously going to be, you know, trying to say again on your post, though. So you guys probably need some more production from the outside, don't you?
Yeah, we do. The way we're set up, we're kind of in a, with our posts, they're inside and outside, so they're moving around quite a bit. But yeah, I think there's no secret. Our strength is in the inside, but we do have some really good shooters too. We haven't necessarily shown that in the games, but you know, Meg Burns has been nursing an injury and hasn't had the reps in practice that she will get, hopefully, coming through down the road. But we have shooters. I'm convinced of that because we see it at practice. Haven't quite put that in the game yet. But, you know, we're pretty confident of our inside-outside game. But our guard play is going to have to get better as we move on for us to have a really good team.
Well, Meg is clearly your best perimeter shooter, and she's off to a good start thus far. She's 8 of 18 from three-point range. And you mentioned her injury. She's been out with a turf toe injury since July, I think you said. You know, but is she doing okay right now health-wise?
She's not doing great. Okay would be the word, you mm-hmm. know. And unfortunately, okay against Southeast Polk and the competition we have coming up isn't good, you know. So I don't know what we're going to do with that. But we need to get better. She's got some different pain now. I think the turf toes has healed itself, but then sometimes those lead to other little small injuries. So we just need to get her over the hump because she's a very, very important player for us and had a really, really good off season and can really, really shoot the ball and is just a really good all-around player for us.
Well, of course, Kenna missed most of last season due to a leg injury, and she just started practicing last week after leading the volleyball team to a state title. You know, it looks like maybe her timing's just a little off right now, but she's obviously an elite athlete. She's just going to get better and better, though, with more reps, don't you think?
Well, I think there's no question about that. In the three games we've played, you'll go, whoa, did she do that? And then you see some things like, geez, come on, Ken, you know, that's easy. But, you know, she played as a sophomore, not really much as a freshman. She hasn't, you know, she works hard in the season, but has really missed a whole year. So some of the things she's done with that limited practice has been pretty amazing. And some of the things that she's done needs to be better. So her upside's huge. Her defense, I thought last night, was really good. She's blocking some shots, getting a lot of rebounds. She's a factor with her athleticism, and on the offensive end is only going to get better. So we're excited about that, very excited.
Yeah, I thought your inside defense last night with Rachel as well. I don't know how many block shots she had, but you guys really shut off the lane there quite a bit.
And a lot of deflections. And we're playing against a team that spread the floor, and a lot of teams we see are going to do that and able to drive us. And I was really, really happy that our post players could get out and defend, contest the three, and we still had our big kids in the lane to block shots, deflect. If we can do that, we have the possibilities of being a really, really good defensive team this year.
Well, you guys will play at Des Moines Hoover on Friday, and that's a team that gave up 103 points to Valley on Saturday. And I know you coaches don't like to look beyond the next game, but you guys have a big week coming up next week, and I wanted to get your thoughts, you know, on those two games. You guys will host Valley on Tuesday in a rematch of last year's regional final, which was won by the Tigers. So I imagine your girls will be pretty fired up for that one, won't they?
Well, we need to be because they're a very, very good team. They beat Johnston handily. Johnston, a team that's got three Division I players. I think the bad news for most of us is that Zoe Young looks like an improved version of last year, and that's really good. So, and then they've got Honnold back from an injury, a really elite softball player, elite athlete. So basically they got six starters coming back. So they look really, really good right now out of the gate.
Well, you mentioned Zoe Young. Of course, she's going to be going to Maryland to play, you know, next year. You've coached against a lot of great players over the years. You know, does she rank right up there with any of them?
Oh, I think so. You know, she can shoot the step back three. She can drive. She can score inside. She's a great ball handler. You know, when she really puts her mind to it, she can dominate a game. You know, it's kind of scary. So, but we have a lot of those in our conference, and you know, it's just another one. And hopefully, you know, our team can do some things to stop her, slow her down at least, because you're not going to stop her. She's too good.
Right, right. Well, now Valley and Dowling, I see, will play this Friday, and that might reveal a little bit more about those two teams. Dowling also has one of the nation's best players in Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin and Zoe are different players, but would you say that one or the other is more difficult to prepare for because of what they can do?
They're both very, very – they both make their teammates a lot better. They do play different styles, but I can't – they're both, you know – you don't want to play either one, and you got to really scheme to try to slow them down a little bit. And, you know, unfortunately, we got to play Clark twice. We only play Zoe once. So that's the good news, I guess.
Well, and the fact that they can make their teammates better with the things that they can do, I mean, it's like you said, you really can't stop them, can you? Because they'll just find another way to maybe beat you.
Well, they can both take the ball to the basket, and they're extremely explosive. So sometimes you guard somebody that's a good shooter or can take the ball to the basket. They can do both, and that makes it very, very hard. And they're so athletic that they can slip through your help defense. So, you know, going to Maryland, one of the premier programs, and going to Iowa State, Maggie McGraw, one of the premier programs in the state. And then Clark, I don't know where she's going, but I'm sure it'll be a great school. So, you know, we might be the only school in our conference, six teams, that doesn't have a Division I basketball player. That's the kind of talent that we have in our league.
Well, it makes
pretty
it a
big, amazing.
Big challenge for you guys then.
Yeah, it's a fun challenge. I think our kids are looking forward to it.
Well, after playing Valley, you guys will then travel to Ankeny on December 7th for your Central Conference opener. And Ankeny is also off to a 2-1 start and has already defeated one ranked opponent in Des Moines East. I know you probably haven't, you know, studied Ankeny too much yet, but you know, what are your thoughts on their team thus far?
Well, they're certainly, you know, they're playing well. You know, East has a really good – well, they've got a Division I player going to Minnesota, and they got a lot of other good players. Really, really athletic team. And to beat them first game of the season is not easy the way East plays. So great win for them, and they're off to a great start. Got the McCullough girl that's going to UNI and several other good athletes. So always a huge challenge. So those two games next week, you know, very tough. And then – we got Dowling, and you know, the list just keeps going. So, you know, you just got to find a way to get some wins.
Right. Well, there are six CIML teams currently in the top 10. The Central Conference race, you know, should be a fantastic battle between you guys, Johnston, Dowling, not to mention Ankeny. I see Ames just knocked off Mason City. Urbandale's off to a 3-0 start, so it should be a fun race, huh?
Well, I think legitimately there's no question you could get fifth or sixth in our conference. And if you got last place in our conference, you could – make it the state tournament and do well when you get there. So I don't hope we don't, but let's say we get last place in our conference. I think our kids would know that we played the competition that we can play with anybody in the state. So yeah, it's going to be knockdown, drag out. So you just hope you keep your confidence up and can get enough wins that, you know, you can keep moving forward. But yeah, tough.
Well, I was looking at your schedule today, and you guys have a pivotal stretch later in the season where you play 5 out of 6 games on the road, and the only home game during that stretch is against Waukee, which is currently the number 3 team. You know, if nothing else, that stretch certainly going to get you ready for the postseason.
Yeah, make your break, yeah. So, you know, I really think this year our schedule will be very helpful because of – and it has been every year. You know, last year we played Waukee twice, we played Valley twice, we played Southeast Polk twice, and the list goes on and on. So I think the players at our school, like all the teams, are used to that. But, you know, it's just – you know, it's tough. That's for sure. And I think the number of good players in Central Iowa right now is amazing, I would have to say. The high-caliber athletes.
Yeah, I think it's an all-time high. I've been here for about 30 years, and I can't remember ever being like this. So, well, now that you have 3 games under your belt, you know, you should know a little bit more about your team than you did before the season started. You know, what do you think is going to be the key for this team to reach its ceiling?
Well, I think defensively we do have the tools, and I think we were concerned about that, but we worked really hard at defense because we think that's what's going to give us a chance to win these early games. Offensively, we're a work in progress. We got some young players we're trying to work in. We're not quite sure, you know, what our rotation's going to be. We got some multi-sport athletes. We don't have a team that's played together all summer and all fall. So I think the key is just, you know, building our team and trying to get some chemistry here with the schedule we have sometimes can be difficult, but I like what we have. We have a lot of fight. We're athletic. We got some inside firepower that a lot of teams don't have, so that makes it a little bit different. So, you know, I really, really like our team this year.
Well, now you've been coaching for a long time. You know, you've won multiple state titles. You know, you've had some other teams that maybe had a chance to win state, but for one reason or another, you know, didn't quite reach that ultimate goal. You maybe had a few teams that you maybe knew all along didn't have that potential to reach that goal. You know, when you look at this team, you know, do you see enough talent there? Do you see the potential to possibly, you know, win a state title?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Kennesaw is Division I athlete, not basketball, but volleyball, and she brings something special. You know, the way we can score inside would give teams some concern. I've been impressed with our rebounding, especially on the defensive end. I think we have the potential to do that on offense. I think we can cause teams problems with our defense. It's just a matter of how much we can improve on offense. I know we got the capability in the guard court. We got some young guards. When we got some, all our guards are young because we got one senior guard that's playing. You know, I like that. We can probably improve a lot as the season goes on, and I think at the end of the year be playing our best basketball. If we are, then I really think, you know, we played Southeast Polk really tough, especially after the first quarter. They're for sure one of the teams that are talked about as state champions, and early in the season we're not that far behind, so we just got a little ways to catch up.
Were you surprised at all when the rankings came out that Southeast Polk was number one? I knew they were going to be good, obviously, with Maggie moving in there, but you know, were you surprised that they were number one?
No, I mean, she's one, if not, I mean, she's certainly a premier player in the state. Larkins has a Division I offer. They're number 40. Cruzy has a Division I offer. So you're talking about three Division I type players there. A program that's done a lot of winning. So, you know, I think it's a toss up amongst some of those, but you sure can't go wrong with Southeast Polk.
I know when I first saw those rankings, you know, you look down the list, you see Dowling at number 9 with a player like Clark, and you just like, gosh, how could they not be higher than that? But that just shows you how many good teams there are.
I think it shows how many good teams. You know, Johnson's got three Division I's, and, you know, there's just the list goes on and on. So the good news is it's just early season rankings, so it's going to get mixed up, and we'll see how it plays out through the season. So I think it'll be very exciting.
All right, Scott, well, thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet.
I do have to say that is one of your sponsors Rod Brannon?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's give him a shout-out because I see him once in a while. I look at my wife's Facebook. The guy's everywhere. And now I start seeing him with you.
Yeah, we just went to a concert.
Oh, yeah. He's Mr. Concert. I think he's seen the Rocket Man about 60 times, he tells me. So.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, so. Rod's idea is he wants to do a podcast sometime. And he wants to call it a Rodcast. So.
Yeah, there you go. I think that would be very entertaining. I think you get a lot of people watching that. So anyway,
for sure.
It's all good.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Scott.
Yep.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title, and Escrow and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.